What is up, guys? My name is Jordan. I'm with my old man, Howie. And welcome to the latest episode of the Jacobs Dynasty Sports Podcast.
Hey, guys. Welcome back to the show. Really appreciate everybody tuning in. Man, I said to Jordan today, we got to do a show. It's a Saturday afternoon. The weather's beautiful out. I'm actually going to be away for a couple days. So much going on in the sports world right now. We talked about on some of our previous episodes how, like, in the NBA playoffs, it's like every day when games are played, there's so many things that come up for discussion. Here we are now, a day before the semifinals in the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference. And man, there are some really good matchups and some intriguing storylines.
Looking ahead, I mean, we got Boston versus Milwaukee.
We're starting with the East.
Starting with the East, we got Boston versus Milwaukee in a series that I think everybody wanted right from the start of the playoffs. Got Jason Tatum leading the way with the insanely defensive Celtics versus the Milwaukee Bucks, who have Giannis and Drew Holiday, but no Chris Middleton.
They have other guys.
But talking about the main guys.
That's one of their stars.
Chris Middleton has been ruled out for the entire second round. And then the other matchup in the East, which was looking good at first, was the Miami Heat versus the Philadelphia 76ers. But in case you missed it yesterday, Joel Embiid has been ruled out indefinitely due to an orbital fracture.
All right, so let's focus first on the Celtics and the Bucks, just because that really is probably the marquee matchup of all of the matchups, other than the fact that Middleton's going to be out. And, I mean, I guess the major question is, can the Celtics slow down Giannis?
Yeah, I mean, when you looked at the Celtics-Nets series, the Celtics obviously swept the Nets. But when you look at the Nets lineup, they had no big men. Like, KD, obviously tall player, but he's not portrayed as a big man. He had Drummond and Claxton.
He's not a center.
We've talked about, and obviously they didn't perform that well. And then you got guys like Giannis and Brook Lopez, who both can work you in the paint and then also shoot the three ball. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Celtics use, like, Robert Williams, Al Horford, Daniel Theis on these type of guys, because in the Nets series, Claxton and Drummond weren't moving outside of the paint. They were consistently inside the paint to either put back missed shots or catch alley-oops from KD or Kyrie. Giannis and Brook Lopez can do it all. Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see how Robert Williams and the other two big men match up against Giannis and Brook Lopez.
No, I think it's going to be fascinating because, you know, one thing that people will typically say about the Bucks is that even though they won a championship last year, you know, Mike Budenholzer, is that the name of the coach? I mean, he's not like a fantastic coach when it comes to game planning and X's and O's. In fact, based on the way that the Celtics approach the Nets, you might be saying like the coaching's at least even. You'd be giving the matchup, you'd be giving it to probably giving the edge to the Celtics coach, but he's so inexperienced. So I think what they're probably going to try to do is they're probably going to try to not shut down Giannis. They're going to try to slow him down and make everybody else beat them. And I guess the question is, do the other guys step up? I mean,
it's going to be interesting because from position 1 to 5, even on the bench, the Bucks can shoot the ball. Like, literally, you have Drew Holiday, who can shoot and is also probably a top 5 defensive point guard. Giannis, Brook Lopez, Grayson Allen. Yeah. No Middleton, but Pat Connaughton. I mean, they got Serge Ibaka, who is not known for a 3-point shot, but he can be used for a solid 10 minutes. But it's just going to be fun to watch.
It's going to be fascinating. I mean, the Celtics definitely have a lot of horses, and they have some decent bench talent. Right?
This is going to be whether Tatum can take down KD and Giannis, or is Giannis going to be known as the best player in the world moving forward? I think he already is known as that, but
I think
Milwaukee can beat Boston without Chris Middleton, I think it's fair to say that Giannis by far exceeds any player in the NBA.
No. Listen, I would agree. And if like Giannis just sort of can't be stopped, it's just going to cement his legacy even further. I just think a comment of the overall playoffs, I don't want to get off track because we're going series by series, is that it's actually refreshing when you look at the teams that are left. Yeah, Embiid being injured is unfortunate.
There's just no super teams, which is nice.
Yeah, the Phoenix Suns played well this season. There's not the Warriors when they're healthy.
There's not a solidified favorite.
That's a good point. But just it's a nice mix of young and I don't even want to say old because you know Chris Paul and Steph Curry are on the older side, but it's like Giannis is like 27, but it seems like he's been in the league for 15 years.
You got guys like Luka, Ja.
Yeah, no, Luke. This is their first you know time getting to the second round.
Yeah.
You know, Devin Booker obviously last year had a nice run to the finals. So. Yeah, I mean, the Celtics and the Bucks. I mean, I'll pick the Bucks to win the series probably in 6 or 7. I mean, I just think that the Bucks are the defending champions, and until somebody takes them down, you know, that's always what the story is in the NBA. I mean, you got to take down the defending champions. Yeah. You know,
I want the Bucks to win. I think the Bucks win in 7, but dude,
it's gonna be
wild.
It's gonna be a really, really good series. You know, moving on to Miami.
And for the record, I will not be upset with whoever wins that series because I respect both teams and the players on that team.
No, I would agree. It's just, listen, I think it's really the star storyline is Jason Tatum ready to take it to the next level in the playoffs? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's it. He's got to take down, you know, the world champions is what it comes down to. And they might even be playing against each other, as crazy as it is, because both of those guys are so versatile. It's crazy.
I think Giannis will guard Tatum. I don't think Tatum's going to guard Giannis, though.
Well, I was going to say, the thing that's amazing about Giannis, and as a big man and playing in Milwaukee, I just still think he doesn't get the recognition he deserves. This guy is probably all around... I want to say he could be one of the greatest players of all time. He needs more of a resume. You know, even though he's already he's got a hell of a resume, but he just needs more longevity.
If he wins a championship and finals MVP this year,
that'd be amazing. Like, but it's just, he also, when you watch him play, it's like he does everything. Like in the offseason, he needed a jump shot, he needed to shoot a higher free throw percentage. That's what he worked on. Funny enough, I was talking to somebody this morning about the fact that he's from Greece. Let's talk about Luka and Giannis coming from countries and Jokic coming from countries that don't have like basketball courts in every town. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm actually going to Greece tonight, ironically enough, and I might try to see where the courts are that Giannis – I think there are some courts that Giannis has paid for now, but maybe the courts that he grew up playing on. These guys are amazing. It's like Tim Duncan. I mean, he didn't play basketball till he was in high school. He's going to be a swimmer, but Giannis is just – I mean, the guy is amazing. He's got length. He could guard anybody. He brings the ball up the court. I mean, it's fascinating. Anyway, I think we could really that series is really going to spur a lot of nice conversation. But
I think whoever comes out of that series is winning.
Is coming out of the East for sure,
unless Joel Embiid magically returns.
Yeah, I think he's going to try to, and maybe it'll be one of those things where if the concussion is probably a little
that's what's not, because he could wear a face mask.
Yes, and I think that would be interesting. But I still pick the Heat in that series, even if Embiid comes back. Mm-hmm. I think as I've said with Jordan when we talk about this. Like, I like their coach. I think they have depth. I think they play hard. I think that if it ends up being the Celtics and the Heat, that could end up being like a 90s-style Knicks-Bulls, Knicks-Pacers game.
Even the Bucks.
You know, where they're in the 80s. You know, because the defense and you're fouling guys. I mean, that's what the Heat do. You know, Jimmy Butler, the Heat players say, nobody works harder than Jimmy Butler.
It's going to be interesting to see. Well, we can transition to the... Sixers, Heat series.
Yeah, that's what I think. But this is what we do.
It's going to be
interesting
to see if they sit Jimmy Butler for game one just because Embiid's not there and see.
Why? Is he banged up?
Well, he didn't play game 6 against the Hawks.
What was
or game 5. Game
what,
5.
What was the injury?
Either a hamstring or leg.
Yeah, I think he'll be out there because I think that they want to, unless he's really hurting. They want to just get ahead.
This is James Harden's moment. Everyone talked about him not delivering in playoffs.
Yeah.
This is it. He needs to turn back the clock to his MVP days in Houston. He is the offense now. Yeah. He has to be.
Well, Maxie's good too. But
Harden is the focal point. He is going to be the focal point for the Sixers offense this series without Joel Embiid. He will be the reason whether the Sixers win or lose.
Well, I'll say this. You know, if Harden does not step up, at least in the games that Embiid's not playing, again, I go back to how do you give that guy a contract extension? Because to me, Harden has not looked like the same player this year. And if he all of a sudden starts scoring 35, 40 points and getting to the free throw line 15, 20 times a game, then he's obviously not playing his hardest when Joel Embiid is there. Maybe he's sulking because he's not the star of the team. But I agree with you. But this could end up being a referendum on whether James Harden stays in Philly, gets a big contract extension, whether Doc Rivers stays there as a coach. But, you know, I still think even if Embiid was healthy, I'd probably choose the Heat in six or seven games. I mean, I just think they're on a roll at the right time.
Yeah, I guess. I don't think the Heat are all that special, to be honest. They have, like, good players, but...
Well, don't forget, they made it to the finals in the bubble, and that was 2 years ago, and a lot of those
players... Mickey Mouse Eastern Conference Finals.
I don't know that. It was in Disney World,
They beat the Celtics and the Bucks in that series.
Yeah.
Or in that playoffs. So, but we could transition...
Switching to the West.
Over the West. Actually, some pretty decent matchups in the West. You got the Mavericks taking on the Suns, Luka.
Yeah.
It's literally Luka versus the Suns.
Well, no. Jalen Brunson has definitely stepped up. Like, I mean, there's no question about it. Sorry.
But it's just all going to depend on Luka. The Suns are obviously great. Everyone's expecting them to win.
Yeah. I'm picking the Suns to win. I mean, Booker's back. I mean, I thought they brought him back pretty quickly, you know, considering the strain that he had.
Just, I don't even know which guy on the... I think Ayton is going to be the most dominant force for the Suns in this. Because, like... Can you name like a solid big man on the
Dallas?
Yeah,
not really. But Bogdan Bogdanovic is like Boyan. George Mirosin.
He doesn't even play. Not Bogdan, like Boyan.
Boyan,
the 7'6".
Boyan.
Suns should clean up that series pretty.
I would agree. I think I'd be surprised if that goes more than six. Probably not five. I mean, Luka's going to go off. I mean, the guy's unbelievable. You watch some of his highlights.
He brought the Clippers last year to seven games.
Yes.
I honestly think when the Clippers are fully healthy, they're a top two, three team in the league.
We'll find out when they come back. But one thing I was going to say with Luka, that this guy needs to tone it down with talking to the refs. I mean, it seems like every time you turn around, this guy's freaking complaining. He's such a trash talker.
Yeah.
It's like Gary Payton 2.0 or something. But anyway, yeah, I think the Suns are going to take that series.
And then you got the Warriors Grizzlies.
Another good one, man.
That one's probably going to go to at least six, probably seven. And honestly, I think the series just comes down to experience. I think both teams, despite the Grizzlies not having the biggest names, if you watch them, you could just tell that they're a well-rounded team with depth. But I think in the end, the Warriors' experience is just going to result in them winning the series.
I mean, I look at the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies this year are like 2 years ahead of probably where the franchise ever thought they would be coming into this year. I think that's fantastic. I think Ja Morant's going to be a face of the league going forward. He might end up... Ja Morant honestly reminds me of Michael Jordan when Michael Jordan was early in his career. I mean, he's got that type of talent. And, you know, I just think it's going to be fun to watch. What is he? He's in his third year, right? I mean, he's just going to be fun to watch. And they have other talent. They actually, when Morant was injured and out, they still played well.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be great. If they can go six games, similar to like the Pelicans taking the Suns to six games...
Grizzlies have home court advantage too, which is interesting.
Yeah, no, that's a good point as well. I don't think it's quite the same with the T-Wolves and the Grizzlies, just because both of those teams are young. But I think this is really like if the Grizzlies can take these guys.
The Grizzlies just got studs. I mean, Desmond Bane and Dylan Brooks outscored Ja Morant yesterday. Then you got Jaren Jackson, who is probably one of the most underrated players in the league.
Yeah,
you got I don't even know who their center is. Steven Adams.
Yep.
It's either center and then Ja leading the way. And then you got bench
guys. Interesting team. Well, and then on the flip side, like my comments about Golden State, and Jordan and I were actually talking about this before we went on the air. I think Golden State's on a mission. I think that if they end up playing the Suns, that's going to be a very, very intriguing series. I mean, you just look at the run that Golden State had from what was it, 2014 to 2000, till Durant left, I guess. Klay got injured, misses two seasons. Steph Curry's injured. Here they are right back. They have the experience, like Jordan said. You know, you put these teams out, you put the experience. And strangely enough, they got better when these guys were injured because they got high draft picks. They got Jordan Poole. I mean, well, Andre Iguodala is back there.
James Wiseman, but he hasn't done.
He's out. I mean, the whole year. Like a top pick.
He was
right?
Two.
Yeah. Iguodala's back there, but I think he's hurt now. But like, Andre Iguodala was like the 2014 or 2015 Finals MVP.
Only thing that concerns me about the Warriors is the height advantage that the Grizzlies have. Like, you look at the Nuggets, it was Jokic. And Jokic isn't like, he's a strong guy, but he's not like the tallest guy. But across the board, when you look at the Grizzlies roster, they're just big, like, strong, tough guys. And I think that's going to play a factor in this series. But I have the Warriors in seven.
Yeah.
And I think it's the Western Conference Finals matchup that everyone wants just because it's going to be unpredictable. And then I want the Bucks to win it all just because of Giannis. But I think at the end it will be the Celtics and the Heat. And
if you had to pick the finals right now, like,
I mean, like, I don't want it to be this, but it would probably be the Suns Celtics with the, I don't even know who wins that series, but like, I just like the Bucks making it because, like, they're just, like, an unpredictable, like the Celtics are just so, like, defensive and, like, the Bucks are just fun to watch, like, all the way around.
Well, I'll say this. If it's the Suns and the Warriors, again, I know the Suns made it to the finals last year and they got to be, like, Chris Paul has to be dying to, like, get that championship at this point. He's playing at such a high level for an older guy. I just cannot see Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green and Steve Kerr missing on an opportunity to get to the finals again.
I can see it.
I just can't. So I'm going to say...
They barely beat the Nuggets in like three out of the four games they won.
Yeah.
And they just had Jokic.
The Nuggets are a good team. Curry missed a couple of games.
He played every game.
If you go back to the beginning of the season, the Warriors were playing very good. I think that was before Klay came back. And Curry was out of his mind. I think he's still out of his mind. So, I personally think it's going to be the Warriors and the Bucks. But I really want the Bucks to
be
awesome there. I do want the Bucks to be there. But I would not be shocked if it's the Heat or the Celtics. I think it's very good. Very intriguing. I think it's great for the NBA.
I think the matchup that I want the most would be the Grizzlies or the Mavericks versus the Bucks.
But I can't see those guys. I mean, if one of those guys make it, their cards, Luka and Ja's cards are going to be like off the charts.
I think that would be sick. I think honestly the Mavericks could do it. It's such a long shot, but if there was someone to do it, it would be Luka.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, do you think they can do it because their team
is better
or because Luka? But again, it's very difficult. He's great. And I remember him against the Clippers in 2 years ago when they won that game and we went nuts. But it's just very difficult for one guy to carry a team. It's like if you compared the Bucks.
He did it last year.
If you can.
They have the Clippers. Game 7, though.
But it's the first round.
It doesn't matter, though.
Dude, it does matter.
Let me ask you a question. Suns to six games without Kawhi.
If it was the Bucks against the Mavericks, who are you picking?
Oh, the Bucks.
Right, and why?
Because I think Giannis is the best player in the world, and they have a better supporting cast.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's my point.
No, I would want the Mavericks to win.
It's almost criminal that there's not a better team around Luka right now, but he makes everybody better.
But like, who do you want to win?
They also have Spencer Dinwiddie
The Suns or the Mavericks? Who would you want to win? The Mavericks.
I think it would be great to see Luka win, but I have to tell you, I feel like it's like Chris Paul. It'd be nice to see Chris Paul get a championship. Listen, you're talking to a guy whose favorite player growing up was Patrick Ewing. Stop. He never got a championship. Jordan is harassing our dog. He never got a championship. Charles Barkley never got a championship. Karl Malone and John Stockton never got a championship. I always feel bad for these guys who have great careers. Please stop. And just don't win championships. I mean, Hall of Fame guys who just don't get championships. But I just think the storylines are fantastic for the NBA. Really, really good. Other than Embiid being injured right now. Can you please stop? Stop.
Chill, bro.
We're live, folks. By the way, letting everybody know, you're listening to the Jacobs Dynasty Sports Podcast. We hope you're enjoying it. We hope you find us intriguing, funny, interesting.
Cringy.
You guys hear good things because Jordan and I enjoy the show. just moving on from the NBA,
do you
NFL? I think we'll hit NFL first. And let's spend a little bit of time on the top 10. Do you have the list of the top 10 picks?
I know them in my head.
Well, let's start with the top pick.
I think we got to talk about the biggest storyline before any of the picks, A.J. Brown getting traded. I mean, that was a blockbuster.
Well, it wasn't before any of the picks.
But Trayvon Walker goes to Jacksonville. In my opinion, if you're Jacksonville, like, I just don't get the thought process behind the pick. I'm not saying he's not a great player, but you're just looking at, like, a guy like Myles Garrett. If you look at all the defense players that have been drafted first round, they had four times the amount of stats that Trayvon Walker had. And I'm not denying, he's a top five talent in the NFL draft, but you got Hutchinson there and Thibodeau there. Like, well, you got to go with one of them.
Listen, I agree with you. And I do think it begins and ends with Hutchinson. And maybe it's the Michigan bias. Full disclosure, Jordan goes to Michigan, if we haven't mentioned it before 70 times. But I just think, like, Hutchinson has just carved out this aura as being a guy, certainly on defense, who is just, like, a game changer for a club. Like, even if he doesn't live up to being the number two pick from a statistical standpoint, his leadership skills, you know, good guy, Michigan guy, quick. Like, I was watching, you know, videos of, they actually did a real nice breakdown on ESPN of all, if you're really like a defensive guru, and I'm not in the NFL, but like videos of these different textbook techniques that Hutchinson uses to get by his, there's like these, the swim technique and the hook technique. This guy is so fundamental. He's a genetic freak in that he weighs 260 pounds, but he doesn't look like he weighs 260 pounds. He's just a solid mass of muscle. I think he's a transformative player for teams. I mean, and again, it's strange in drafts, you know, number one picks being on defense and stuff like that. But you know something? Let Jacksonville go where they want to go. Since Tom Coughlin was there, they're perennially a bad
signing
team.
Signing Christian Kirk to a $100 million-plus deal.
Perennially a bad team. That comes back to their GM, their management.
However, when it comes to fantasy, Travis Etienne should be fun to watch.
Yeah. But you know something? It was meant to be that Aiden Hutchinson plays for Detroit. It's right near the University of Michigan. He's going to be treated like a god in that town. He's going to be able to sleep at home if he wants at night. It was meant to be that that guy should go there. And knowing the type of humble guy that he is, I'm sure he didn't even say to himself, oh, it's a shame I could have been number one. I mean, Panini was putting out cards. And by the way, Jordan, I saw people posting that they bought the rated rookie NFT Panini cards right off of the site already. You can get them. Cool. But he was the face of that. This guy has star written all over him. And like I said, even if his stats don't live up to being as gaudy as like a number two pick, I still think he's going to end up being a star.
Yep.
Moving on to number three pick. Don't torture the dog, Jordan.
Yeah, I think his name is Devin Singleton Jr. He's a cornerback who went to Houston. I mean, cornerbacks are tough to judge just because, like, you look at Jeff Okuda, who was drafted to the Lions like 3 years ago. He hasn't really done much. So it's just tough to tell with cornerbacks. Like, off the top of your head, can you think of like the top cornerback in the NFL?
I mean, I think of guy like Jalen Ramsey. He's not a cornerback, right? Who are some of the lockdown defensive guys?
It's like Jalen Ramsey, but like,
you can't isn't really... he really the? Who are some of the other big guys? Who's the guy in the
Patriots? The guy that just went to the Chargers is good. I forget. He's from the Patriots. He's good.
Is that Gilmore? Stephen Gilmore?
No, Stephon Gilmore. He's like decent, but can't really think of like that many. Like, cornerback is such a tough position, and usually if you're being drafted, you're going to be regarded as either the best or second best cornerback on your team. So you're going to be matched up against like guys like Davante Adams, Tyreek Hill.
No, I always think about like Darrell Revis being the standard lockdown guys that, you know, your fantasy guy has like two or three receptions the week that he's going against the top defensive guy.
Yeah, so
Number four, New York Jets.
Sauce Gardner.
Yeah, the Jets, listen, I'm a Giants fan, but I like to see the Jets do well. I think it's good for the NFL. It's good for New York. You know, the Jets had a phenomenal first round. And people should remember that because, you know, you come out of the draft, people like to criticize. Players oftentimes don't live up to their draft pick status. But at the end of the day, people love the Jets draft, the early rounds. People love the Giants draft. So Sauce looks like he's phenomenal. I think I might have heard
once again, though,
did he not give up a touchdown? I think in college.
But like then again, it's the NFL. It's gonna be he's gonna be matched up against Stephon Diggs, most likely two times a season. Yeah. He's gonna be matched up against Tyreek Hill. If he's regarded as the best corner on, I'm pretty sure he's a corner. If he's regarded as the best corner on the Jets, which he probably is at the moment,
he should be on those guys.
He's gonna have a handful with Tyreek Hill and Stephon Diggs.
I would agree. I would agree. And who ended up going to the Patriots? Devontae Parker. Not on the level of Hill and Diggs, but still be matched up on him.
And then you got Giants. We could just hit upon their two picks because they're almost back to back.
People universally Thibodeau, like their picks.
A+. Neal, A+. The Giants finally, on paper, have a great defensive line, or offensive line with Andrew Thomas. Oh,
better. They're better. You know, they're definitely bookend. They have bookend tackles. Yeah,
Andrew Thomas,
right?
And then Neal. And then on the defensive side, the Giants actually didn't have the worst defense last year. They were like average, but getting Thibodeau is definitely huge. If he's the player that we all think he's going to be, then
absolutely.
Giants have a somewhat okay future.
Yeah. It just seems like the Jets and the Giants, every year hope springs eternal. And it just seems like their picks don't work out and stuff like that. But I got to tell you, when you see how the Giants, the players the Giants picked in this draft, and the fact that no running backs went in the first round, listen, it's revisionist history. Saquon Barkley obviously came out of college looking like, looking like an Adrian, let's call him an Adrian Peterson type player.
Because if he did everything.
But, you know, he gets taken second by Gettleman. Gettleman traded down in the draft once or twice during the time he was with the Giants. It just magnifies like the wasted four years that have gone on, and taking Daniel Jones number six, that here they are, and this team is, you know, this the management, their GM and their coach, it's like we got to build up the offensive line, because that's really where good teams start to build. You build in the trenches and you build from there, and they just want to give Daniel Jones enough of a chance to see if he's actually can be an NFL quarterback. I think the ownership likes him. I think he's a smart guy. He's shown flashes. I just don't know, like the ball control and stuff. And I was talking with our friend Sam Brill about this. We actually should have had Sam on the show today because he knows so much information on the draft. If Daniel Jones does, if the Giants don't, without even looking at their schedule off the top of my head, if they're not at 500 after their first four games, Tyrod Taylor is going to be their quarterback and Daniel Jones is going to be done in the NFL. They declined his option, which was the right thing to do. It was like $23 million. But again,
they're in a tough division.
Their
now
ownership wants to win games or at least be competitive and show improvement. And the thing is, as much as the Giants' record wasn't very good last year, they do have some of the pieces to certainly win three or four more games this year, for sure. Yeah. And they've traded down again in the draft. They've got, like we were watching earlier today, I think they're going to come out of this draft with 8 or 9 draft picks. And it's funny because when you have a management structure that's been successful somewhere else, you know, in the way that these Buffalo Bills guys were, you just trust that they're going to hit it on the majority of the picks. So again, nice to see the Giants and the Jets come out of the draft looking good. Now the Panthers were sandwiched in between the Giants' picks.
They drafted a good offensive lineman, probably on paper better than Neal. But then again, it's an offensive lineman. They're not like...
I think the Giants looked at it like they really wanted to get the guy they got at 5. Yeah. And they didn't want somebody to trade up, or they didn't want the Panthers to all of a sudden decide to get him. And they probably ranked the two offensive guys that went 6 and 7 probably pretty much the same. Yeah.
And then we don't really have... I mean, the only notable thing left in the top 10 was Drake London going to the Falcons. He's going to be the number one guy there with Ridley being out due to gambling.
But no Matt Ryan, don't forget.
But Marcus Mariota, who I actually like on the Falcons offense this year. It just...
I don't know much else. And what, didn't they draft Spencer Rattler also?
No.
Or the other quarterback?
Desmond Ridder?
They drafted him late also.
Oh, maybe.
And I, you know, I'm certainly not going to start there. But some other intriguing things in the draft, you know, the Lions. Brown. Well, we'll talk about AJ Brown. I sort of like that was outside a little bit of the draft because it was a trade. But the Lions also did well in the draft. They got the wide Williams. Receiver late. The Jets traded up to take Tramon Johnson,
who fell Jermaine
down.
Johnson.
Jermaine Johnson, who fell down in the draft. And the Packers, I don't even know what the Packers, because like Aaron Rodgers, strange off the field, obviously stellar on the field. And it's like the Packers have just like wasted like the last 4 years. You know, they took that other quarterback, you know, when they had him. They don't draft wide receivers. Devontae Adams left, which they might have had no control over. And I know they drafted a receiver in the second round, but it's like, unless you're just like, Aaron Rodgers can make anybody into like a Pro Bowl wide receiver. Man, I just don't know what those guys are doing. You know, you pay the guy $50 million. It just doesn't make sense. Like, I know their coach has had a great record since he's taken over. But again, you just wonder like the decisions of some of these teams, what they do and stuff. But anyway, I think that's some of the main points for the draft itself. And, you know, Jordan, go ahead and talk about trade, like sort of shocking trade, actually.
AJ Brown going to the Eagles for picks, obviously. And then he got a $100 million contract with, I think, $58 million guaranteed.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, the market for the pay scale for wide receivers changed this offseason. And I know the NFL is a quarterback's league. I think it's a quarterback and a wide receiver league. You're not going to see running backs, you know, unless a running back's coming off a ridiculous season like Derrick Henry, what have you, and they hold out. And listen, if you're a running back that has a fantastic season, get paid while you can get paid. It used to bother me when players did that. I remember when Chris Johnson went over 2,000 yards and then he held out and people were criticizing him. These guys need to get the money when they can get it. Because
the most replaceable position.
Most replaceable position, especially if you have a good offensive line. You know, it's a quarterback wide receiver league. And I think in fantasy drafts, when, you know, it's going to be right around the corner, we start getting a fantasy. I think you're going to see more wide receivers go in the first round this year than like in the last couple of years, because some of these guys. And the other thing is, apparently AJ Brown, the Titans offered him $20 million a year. He wanted 22 and the Eagles gave him 25. Huge money. But what the Titans turned around is they drafted a rookie wide receiver, not a Wookiee. A rookie wide receiver who's probably not going to be A.J. Brown right off the bat. But they're looking
at They have Derrick Henry and the offense runs through him.
And how much is that rookie wide receiver going to get paid?
He's actually
$4 or $5 million?
I know fantasy so far away. Keep an eye out for the Titans wide receiver that they drafted. Top 30 potential. Just letting that be known.
And it's like, listen, people have always looked at the Patriots and what the Patriots have done with their organization under Bill Belichick, and they would cringe. Even Tom Brady cringed when they got rid of quote-unquote star players when they got to the point where they wanted big money. But all the Patriots did is they drafted players to replace them at a much lower salary schedule. The Titans letting A.J. Brown go is probably more of a sign of good management decisions than Philadelphia being crazy enough to pay him all that money. And I think you're going to start to see this with the Giants the next couple of years with Saquon, maybe with Daniel Jones, Kenny Galladay, if he doesn't have a good year this year. It's like the NFL is a what have you done last week league is what it comes down to. And if you want to win and you want to get better, you're going to, other than a quarterback and maybe a star wide receiver, you're churning and burning your players. Oh, by the way, not your offensive line. You gonna want to keep those guys.
One final note.
Good stuff. Good
stuff. If Jalen Hurts does not perform this year,
forget it. Well, it's him. It's Tua. Which Tom Brady might have had a deal in place to go to Miami anyway. But you're taking two guys who basically looked mediocre last year, and you've given them so many weapons. Both of those teams.
Oh, the Cowboys.
Both of those teams should have solid backups, because there's no reason those teams should not make the playoffs this year with the talent that they have. I mean, that's just what it comes down to.
I agree.
You know?
Should we kick it over to the MLB?
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about MLB. You know,
the Mets.
Here we are 2 weeks after I'm burying the Yankees.
The Yankees and the Mets, top two records.
Yeah. And the Mets are coming off a 5-pitcher no-hitter, the second one in the history of the
Mets,
the organization.
I mean, big storylines we could just touch upon real quick. Yankees and Mets, two New York teams, top of their leagues. The Angels, I mentioned earlier today to my dad, finally showing hope for Angels fans.
Well, let me ask you, what's their record and what's the reason they're doing so well?
They're 14-7.
Okay, it's early, but
second best record in the AL, third best record in the entire league, or tied for third with the Dodgers.
How's Mike Trout doing?
16 wins. Mike Trout going crazy.
Okay.
He has like a 400 average. He's a monster. Shohei's heating up. There's a new guy on their team, Taylor Ward, who's been doing great. A couple guys like, I think Brandon Marsh or Walsh is his name. Anthony Rendon, who hasn't even heated up yet. But
the NFL needs a new marketing. Or the MLB needs a new marketing organization. They need VaynerMedia or something. That's which we're familiar with. They've been doing a lot of good things. But just MLB, it's like they're not even on people's tongues when the NFL draft is going on and the NBA playoffs are going on, unless you're just a crazy homer fan that's watching your
team. Well, I've actually enjoyed the MLB this year. I mentioned like a week or two ago, if you want to get into the MLB, do fantasy baseball. You'll enjoy watching your players bat and it'll get you more interested into the game. You'll learn more about baseball.
Yeah, that's a good tip from Jordan. He's been giving some real insightful stuff this year on the podcast. But well, since he got home.
Other quick notes in the MLB. When you're looking at like the top players, well,
Trevor Bauer is an interesting.
Well, Trevor Bauer is suspended the next 2 years.
Has he not been playing right up until?
For a year now, but he's appealing it, so should be interesting.
Even if he appeals, it's such a long. Is that the longest suspension that's ever handed down, other than somebody who is indefinitely banned from the league?
Probably, yeah.
I mean, that's crazy. So even if he appeals it. What is he going to get, a year and a half? I mean, the guy did some bad stuff.
But I don't know any team that's
going to... But Deshaun Watson did nothing.
I don't know any team that's going to sign him after this incident. But talking about pitchers, Carlos Rodon on the Giants, absolute monster. Especially if you play fantasy baseball, you'll understand why. Probably the leader for the Cy Young right now. And is it Nestor Cortes? Nestor Cortes.
You follow baseball
in the AL. Probably the Cy Young leader in the AL right now, but just guys to watch. Mike Trout, obviously, has been a beast. I'm trying to think of like the other, like Soto hit a bomb yesterday. Vlad and the Blue Jays are actually in a good series right now with the Astros.
Aaron Judge, Rizzo.
Aaron Judge, Rizzo, and Stanton, like the three-headed monster. Like every game, at least one of them hits a home run. But
now, are they playing good teams, the Yankees? Are they beating good teams? Or is it just you can't pitch to all those guys in the row?
Yeah, I mean, they played the Royals yesterday. Like, they're eh. But right. they played the Guardians. I know we talked about that last podcast. They swept them. The Orioles, I mean. But once they start playing teams like the Blue Jays, the Rays, like, it'll be interesting to see if they can keep it up. But for now, if you're a Yankees or Mets fan,
enjoy the ride. Yeah.
Enjoy the ride.
Well, I think that's, you know, we've gone on for a while now, some great topics, and we're going to have a break over the next week, you know, because I'm going to be away. But hope you guys are enjoying this show as much as we enjoy doing this.
I might do a solo podcast. Who knows?
Jordan, you're more than welcome. You certainly know enough knowledge. And like I said, with the NBA playoffs, there's certainly enough information out there. I encourage you to do it, actually. So he'll be doing the everything, like both sides of the show. But by the way, we're always looking for sponsors too, guys. We're hoping to get our first sponsor. I mean, I listen to podcasts all the time. How many father-son podcasts are out there? I don't know of any. You know, Jordan's 19. I'm going to be 49. We've almost got 30 years between us, but we got a lot of common interests. You know, we love to get on and talk about this stuff. We hope you enjoy listening, and please... If you enjoy us,
wait.
Tell your friends and real relatives and enemies, as they say on Luke.
I just got to flex this real quick. Yesterday, I bought two WWE Prism Blasters, pulled a Roman Reigns. For all the WWE fans, I pulled a Roman Reigns Green Pulsar out of 25. It goes for maybe $100. Just thought I flexed that.
The box was 50, by the way, mind you.
Yeah, but...
The box was 50.
Always
fun. If anybody's interested in the card, feel free to reach out to Jay Jacobs.
And we also... Old man also pulled a Damian Priest auto.
Damian who?
Damian Priest.
Who's old man?
You.
But yeah, it's definitely fun to open. I highly recommend WWE Prism if you're looking for an opening, or even UFC Prism. I know there's a lot of UFC fans out there, but if you want to open something and you find the right price, I highly recommend doing it because it's just fun to do.
You know? It's like buying a lotto ticket, basically. Or, you know, if you're a fan, you just, you know, put it in a sleeve and you never know. Maybe one day it'll be worth a dollar. They're pumping out so many of them now.
Yep.
So, okay. Our number one fan sitting here in between us, that's our dog Jax, passed out from getting a stomach massage. Hopefully you're not passed out from listening to us. But again, thanks for joining the show and listening. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Peace.